You're listening to webmusic.co.uk.
We've got Doggett and F Grave in the studio now of Mostly Comedy. Hello, guys.
Hello.
How are you doing? You all right?
How was your day?
Good. Well, you've been busy, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been off doing a kids' theatre tour today in primary schools around this area, so that was fun.
Just to point out, Glenn is CRB checked,
yes.
So we're all right.
Don't worry. Yeah, so I've been entertaining kids all day, which is, I'm knackered, basically.
I don't really know what I've been doing at all, to be honest. I can't remember. Just sitting. A lot of sitting.
Excellent.
Occasional standing.
Yeah. So you run a monthly night,
yes,
out of the Market Theatre in Hitchin.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's been going for how long now?
We've been running for 4 years now.
Yeah.
We spent 2 years, just over 4 years in fact.
Over 4 years, yeah. 2008 we started, October 2008. So, yeah.
We did 2 years at the George, and then 2 years at the Croft,
yep,
which is over the road from where we are now. And then we've moved to the Market Theatre in September.
Yeah.
Cool.
Which is good. Mm.
And how did it all begin before that? What actually inspired you two to get together to actually do comedy?
In the beginning.
Yes. Well, we met at drama school. Actually, we met at college, North Arts College in Hitchin originally. And we sort of peripherally knew each other. Started working at the little theatre down in Sun Street, the Market Theatre, and then sort of became friends there. And then sort of have a mutual sort of same type of sense of humour, really. So
yeah,
we've always sort of got on in that.
Yeah, we used to do, as Glenn says, lights and sound at the theatre,
yeah,
down the road. And then we just decided there was a friend who runs a comedy writing group and they were looking for new writers. So we thought, should we give it a go?
Yeah.
And we did. And the rest is slightly disappointing history.
Yeah. But it's strange because we didn't start out to be doing stand-up or run a comedy club, but it sort of became that thing, didn't it? Because
yeah,
we were doing writing sort of half-hour style sitcom pilot things for this writing group that we were part of.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah,
it was, we came back from Edinburgh in 2008 and someone we know suggested we start a comedy club, didn't
yeah
they?
We can't possibly share that his name is
Chris Hollis. someone we know, I'm not going to
yeah
say who.
Yeah, I used to be in a band with Chris and we were just talking about things we could do, really, didn't we? And we
yeah
also encouraged more sort of comedies and stuff in the area, and we had this idea of running a small club and getting good people in, really, and now we're starting to run that in London as well in the new year. So that should
yeah
be good at Leicester Square Theatre. Mm.
Oh wow! So you're
yeah
moving up. Was that band you mentioned? Was that Big Day Out?
Yes, it was.
Ah, I knew. I knew that.
Do I owe you money or something?
Yeah,
I think
plagiarism.
Possibly the other way around.
Oh really?
Oh, I see. Yeah. Hang on a minute.
That's a good thing.
All their tracks lined up. It's all Big Day Out stuff.
So yeah, yeah. I got a fortune in PRS.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So, what sort of brand? How would you describe like a typical evening of Mostly Comedy? What can people expect?
Well, it's sort of a mix of things, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're quite lucky; we get very good, high-profile acts on the comedy scene, which has sort of happened more by accident than
yeah
anything. You know, we took a few risks when we first started out the club, and lots of people sort of contacted us asking to do it. And then a few of those people have now gone on to be quite successful. So you have people like Phil Kay and Henning Venn and Josh Widdicombe and Nick
Helm. Yeah, he's
those sort of people.
But when we first started 4 years ago, we had no idea they were going to become the people that are huge now. You know, so we were just very, very lucky. We got in at the right
yeah
time, met the right people, and we've met other people from them. And it's sort of, you know, it works like that now. We get acts based on them recommending us to other people.
So it's quite surprising as well, because the comedy scene is such that people do really seek it out. You know,
yeah,
people, they want to see someone like Jay Foreman, for example. They know of him and they really seek him out. So like
yeah
last month we had Henning Venn, who he bills himself as the German ambassador of comedy, which is a slightly strange
yes
thing to think about. But in the last few years, he's got very big. He tours with Stuart Lee and the like, and we sold that one out. We had 105 people in there. It was sold out the week before. People really seek him out, you know, and he's playing, he's doing like Dave's One Night Stand and doing a run at the Leicester Square Theatre over Christmas, and then he plays our little club in Hitchin. So we're sort of lucky to get these people who keep coming back.
Very
which
cool
is great, yeah.
Yeah, you, like you say, you've had some quite high-profile acts on, and
yeah
I was listening to your podcast earlier with the Norman Lovett interview.
Oh,
which
yeah it was brilliant.
Most people
yeah
know as Holly from Red Dwarf, age permitting.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, that he was quite a candid interview there about Hoovers and pug dogs.
That's
oh
right
that's right. Yes, of course. Yeah. He just likes to talk, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But he's one of those people I could just listen to for hours because he's
yeah
just. And he just keeps talking, and it's all funny as well.
Yeah, yeah. We had this time set aside before the gig to record all our podcast interviews,
yeah
and we spent about 45 minutes
just
with
him,
so
yeah
we had no time for anything else, did we?
No. And we sort of thought, when we were doing it, I thought, oh, maybe we could cut some of this out, but you listen back to it and go, no, let's keep all this in,
yeah
this is brilliant.
Yeah.
It's just him talking about Hoovers, it's funny.
And that's the great thing about Mostly Comedy, we've been really lucky to get a lot of the people that we really, really like. Yeah. You know, it's people like Phil Kay is a bit of a comedy hero of ours, and and they all come into our club and you get to talk to them. Suddenly you're sat there talking to Norman Lovett, who I used to sit in my conservatory as a kid and watch him dwarf.
That's amazing, isn't it? In a shell suit.
Yeah.
The shell suit.
Yeah. He wasn't in the conservatory, just to clarify. On telly.
Okay, cool. So I guess what curiosity for me, comedy in general really, and if I ever got to interview any other comedians I'll probably ask them the same question, but you're the first, so
okay.
Hey ho. It's all about the process. So we've got, you know, where do you draw your inspiration and how do the ideas before they become, you know, a bit of material?
Most of our stuff is very sort of observational, but literally in terms of what you see. I don't know if you've seen what we do, but we very much sort of, we take a lot of pictures of things that we see in the paper, online. We do a whole thing about a thing called the beard board, which exists because I have a beard. I was concerned about maintaining my beard. You know, you want to look smart for the world, you know. Yeah. So I googled beard maintenance and found this website, the beard board, where people discuss in intricate detail about how they want, how you look up, you know. Was it will hair grow up to my eyes is one of the forums.
Yeah, and out and about beards, beards out and about, and celebrity
beards in religion, that's a hot religion, topic.
Yeah. But they're sort of things that you wouldn't think really exist, and they do, and these are just people just are part of these things online as part of their lives, you know, and it's just basically pointing out the sort of slightly taking something and twisting it slightly and saying this is what this is, isn't this a bit ridiculous?
So we pretty much just sort of orate what it is, we tell you what the thing is. So like we do a thing on, there's a guy who makes a career out of a thing called manualism, which is playing songs on his hands by squeezing his hands together, and he can play with a, you know, a high degree of accuracy things like Bohemian Rhapsody. It's just bizarre, and his website's very serious about it as well, so we just sort of point out those things. So it's just most of the stuff comes from things that we just found or saw.
I mean, to be honest, it's what most comedians do. I don't think most comedians, it's all observational stuff. It's just the way that they tell those stories, or the way, you know, it's either experiences from their lives, or but it's the way they tell it and the way they sort of twist it a bit, you know, to make it funny.
Certainly with the stand-up, we very seldom make anything up. It's very much what you see is there. You know, it's a bit different when we're writing a sitcom or something.
Yeah.
But, and I think people laugh because they've seen these things in their everyday, but they haven't really considered it that way. And that's the thing you're trying to do, sort of subvert the way you look at something. And we've got a show that we're working on at the moment that we're doing at the Dave's Leicester Comedy Festival next year, and it's called Doggett and F. Grave Project Stuff, and it's basically just that, an hour of us showing stuff and sort of vaguely linking it together very, very tenuously.
Yeah.
And that's it. Just
but it is just that, and it's amazing how much humour you can get from just a picture. You know, and just when you can dissect a picture.
We do have more than one picture.
Yeah, just we just got one picture, and there's a whole hour based around it. That's nice. It's more than that. But just you take one picture and you sort of dissect bits out of it, you know, and things that are in it. It's,
not literally.
Not literally dissect.
No.
Cool. So, like as we mentioned, you've got a podcast, and where can people find out more about that?
They can go to mostlycomedy.co.uk is where we have all our website stuff for Mostly Comedy, and the podcast is on there. I think there's currently two on there, isn't there?
Yeah.
There's the Norman Lovett one and
Celia Pacola that we did. Foreman one. Yeah. They're also available on iTunes as well. And if you go on, if you go to Mostly Comedy, you can link to the Dog and F Grave website, which is on there, which has a lot of links to videos of us and all that sort of malarkey.
Yeah.
So what are your plans for the new year?
Ooh. Well, we start doing Mostly Comedy in London in the new year. We're doing the first Sunday every month, so there's that.
Leicester Square, as you said, Leicester Comedy Festival, Dave's Leicester Comedy Festival.
Basically anything with Leicester in the
title. Yeah, anything with Leicester, it seems to be Leicester orientated,
doesn't
it?
Yeah, there's the Red Leicester Week where we're just sitting on
cheese.
No, just holding cheese.
Just holding cheese,
letting it sweat in our hands. That's all.
But it is, I don't know, that lots of, we've got lots of ideas, lots of plans, things we want to do. We end up running out of time.
Laser Quest. We've been
really want to go and do that.
Dying to do that.
But they knocked it down in Stevenage, so.
Really?
Paved
Paradise.
Quasar, wasn't it, in Stevenage?
That's right. Sad times.
I know. I was very sad when they knocked it down.
Didn't that then become
a car park, didn't it?
Then a car park.
And then a car park, yeah, that's right.
Laser Quest, nightclub, car park,
yeah.
Done.
Yes.
Yeah. I did hear there was a rumour that kids were turning up with actual guns, and that's kind of what shut the place down.
That's why.
sounds about right.
So, yeah.
Just so you know, there are other laser-based gun games you can play in case Quasar is favouritism.
Still going.
Yeah, excellent. Don't know.
We'll try a hand up paint.
Yeah, but don't do the PJ and Duncan thing.
No.
Make sure you wear adequate goggles.
Yes. Yeah, they did that in Peep Show.
I noticed
this. In the picture, they weren't wearing their goggles.
Yeah,
really?
The whole kind of getting what they're saying across is a bit of a problem, so.
just dangerous. I just think back to Biker Grosvenor though, when I see that happen.
Yeah.
You know,
PJ Mayhays,
I can't see man.
That was more like that Scottish comedian than PJ.
Billy Connolly.
It was more like Billy Connolly. All right, we're going to take a bit of a song break, and then we'll come back and speak more with Doggett and F Grave. This is "Christmas Card from a Hooker" by Tom Waits.
Okay, We're back here with Doggett and F-Grave from Mostly Comedy. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
After that short respite with a little bit of Tom Waits there. What was that? A Christmas card from a...
Okay.
Nice.
Tom Waits always confused me because there was a kid at my school called Tom Watts. And every time I hear the
Tom
name...
Watts.
Yeah, I think of him. It's like him, but it's not him. Tom Watts was very good at drawing maps from memory.
Really?
He could draw a map of Stevenage, any area of Stevenage from memory.
That's very specific as well. I was thinking you were going to say like a map of the UK or something. No, that's quite easy.
At that point, my sort of knowledge was Stevenage and thereabouts.
Oh, right.
So I couldn't, you know. But no, I think he could do at least North Harts.
I was really impressed there until you said map of Stevenage.
Sorry.
Although I did see that guy was in a helicopter the other day and drew the New York skyline like picture perfect one flyby, which I thought
it was a bit like this with this guy who is friends with me on Facebook, so he might be listening to this. But he really could draw very accurately, you know, all the roads and into other roads from memory. It's largely a useless talent now.
Unless that's what he does for a living, and then of course he's making tons of money out
this
of it.
This is true. And his side career as Tom Waits, the popular singer-songwriter.
Well, a minute ago in the break we were talking about your efforts and what it does in the town. It's basically what I'm trying to say is the Mostly Comedy working towards making Hitchin a place on the map, sort of actually putting on the map and
drawn
making
by
it
Tom Watts.
Which I think is a wonderful thing because we are essentially a small market town, but I don't know, how do you guys feel about all this?
Well, we're always selling Hitchin to people, aren't we? Because we're actors as well, and we spend a lot of time working with people who live in London who have this sort of mindset that anything outside of, like, zone whatever is just out of the world, you know. And Hitchin is such a lovely town, and like when I used to be in the band and stuff, and with the little theatre that we both work at, it is a very arty town, lots of creative people. And, I mean, it's proved it with Mostly Comedy, the amount of people who come out on a Thursday night, you know, to see...
Yeah.
These sort of people.
We didn't feel like we were sort of creating, we were sort of tapping into what was already there really with Mostly Comedy. And when we started particularly, we had very much the sort of crossover audience from, say, a lot of sort of stuff at Club 85 and that sort of thing. A lot of people come along from that.
Well, initially when we set it up, it was us and it was Spandex Ballet with the house band. So we were trying to sort of get that thing and get, you know, the local music scene interested as well, you know. And I just think it's a great town. It's like we were watching recently the thing on, I think it's BBC 4, and they had a gig with Squeeze that was done at...
The
Regal Theatre that used to be on this road.
The 70s band, Squeeze?
And
no, Charlie told me about
Thin Lizzy played there and Squeeze played. And if you get a chance to look at it, it's amazing. You think it's a massive venue that was in Hitchin that just went, and you think, you know, and obviously Club 85 is great and is a really good venue.
Yeah.
But you just think this town should have more of that because it's such a good town, you know, good people who are into
and it's so close to London as well, and that's what people don't realise. And we struggle with acts to get them to come out, and once they've been out once, they then go, oh no, I'll come back because it's not far,
yeah,
you know. But it's just getting people to come out into Hitchin, you know,
and also if the comics who come and play our club when they're in London, they might be playing to like five or six people, most of whom are other acts, whereas they come here and get a crowd of people who really want to see them, you know. And so
excellent, because I know from the last one that I went to that we got literally the last two seats in the house. It is very popular. There are lots of people that repeatedly go and go all the time. So even regardless of the acts, they turn up because
that's what we want to create. We tried to create with Mostly Comedy is it doesn't matter who's on. I mean, although people do pick particular ones because they like a particular comedian, hopefully they'll come every month because they just want to see who's on, and we try and get a high standard every month, you know.
But we're lucky like that, you know. From the very beginning, we were just really lucky because the first one was very busy, and then there have been a few that haven't been so busy, you know. But we're just lucky. People obviously want to come and see it, you know, and that's the thing.
And as the name suggests, you incorporate more than just comedy into the shows as well. You have musical acts and
that's
so.
That's right, yeah. And it's something we did more when we first started it, but we've always found the venues we were at previously, because there was a bar in the room or it was a bit distracting, it didn't really work so much having music, because people might expect... Like, for example, when we were at the Croft, if you ever went to run the Croft when it was really packed, you'd have a lot of people standing at the back. So if you have, like, a, you know, not a comical singer-songwriter on, which we've had a few... Sometimes it gets a little bit lost, but now we're back in a sort of theatre space. We can have a music act play. It doesn't have to be.
And we have talked a lot, actually, exclusive this is. We've talked about a lot about having like a sort of bigger act at some point in the future, a music act. So we are sort of talking about different musicians and people. So,
doing an hour or something. It'd be great, you know, because I think it's good to have a mix of things. Yeah. You know,
and what's something for us to look forward to in the future?
Yeah, nice to know.
That's it.
So do you think it's with what you were saying about the local music scene and musical acts, do you think it's a fair statement to say that comedy is the new rock and roll?
I think it is. It's funny. Yes. I talk a lot to my old landlord, who also cuts my hair. He is qualified.
What's his name?
I Jackbone. Red Hill Road Barbers. They're highly recommended. Yeah, thank you. And it just falls naturally into this style. Yeah. but he's got a fairly young daughter, and I'm going somewhere with it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, brilliant.
And he said about her, you know, it used to be like with his other kids that he had, they all wanted to go out and see gigs, you know, music acts and buy albums, whereas now people want to go and see stand-ups. It's this bizarre thing that's happened. I think thanks to things like Russell Howard's Good News and... Yeah. What's that, Live at the Electric?
Live at the Apollo as well, I suppose. All these different comedians. It is a lot more mainstream. There's a lot more like stand-up comedy on TV now, I think. And so many more channels, I suppose, that are showing it all the time. So, it's always there.
I've certainly noticed this. Yeah. And with that little bit at the end of Russell Howard's Good News, where he features an up-and-coming stand-up comedian.
Yes, that's it,
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And most of those people played mostly now.
Comedy, which is nice.
James A. Caster did that. Celia Nick Helm did that.
Phil K. did
Nish
that.
Kumar, Phil Nish K. Kumar. Loads of them, you know.
Yes. And that's always quite special when you've booked someone at mostly comedy and then you go, oh my God, there they are. There.
And the bizarre thing is, like, when you hear them do a gag that they did at mostly, or they tried first time mostly. Like, for example, apparently Nick Helm, I don't know if you know of Nick Helm.
I know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he played mostly quite early on. He's another one we didn't know a lot about until we booked him, and he came on, this massive sort of bombastic guy that he is. And he said recently in an interview that he hadn't tried doing music with his act until he came to mostly. He used to play, in fact, bizarrely, he used to work in a pub that I used to go and gig in occasionally. We didn't know each other then, but they were two separate things. And he thought one time, I'll give it a go, I'll sing a song. And now that's pretty much what he does, and we're not taking any credit for that, but the point is that
it's
bizarre to have those little things. You saw him sit there with an acoustic, now he's doing on, like, he had his Channel 4 program
he did a Channel 4 pilot that I think he co-wrote and was starred in the other day on Channel 4, and he actually did a bit of music in that, and I thought the same thing. I was thinking, that's, you know, it's gone a long way in literally three years.
He's been nominated for the Comedy Award a couple of times, hasn't he? And that's what we like about mostly. It can be quite exciting, you know, this little sort of room with this special sort of thing happening that everyone in the room is in on at that moment, you know, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but we've been lucky, really.
Yeah, wonderful. I think that's the joy of what you guys are doing in that particular space, which I do enjoy. Do you guys say you both still work for the Market Theatre?
Yeah, on and off. I mean, I sort of co-run it. I tend to do all their marketing and everything else. I do a lot of directing down there and various bits and pieces. And that's the kids' Christmas show that I'm doing at the moment, Puss in Boots, is with the Market Theatre, so I'm doing that.
And we've both done plays there when we've been not working elsewhere and the like. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's another example of what Hitchin's got that's good, you know. It's just it's a professional theatre, all the actors down there are professional, and it's nice to have that in such a small town. Mm. You know?
I always feel the Market Theatre is a bit of a hidden gem, and that people, especially my age, really don't make enough of. That's just my opinion. But
it's true. I think,
and it's sort of a rarity as well, because there aren't very many theatres in this country, really, because it produces all its own stuff and sells as well as it does. I know it's only a small space, but you know, they have new plays on people know nothing about, like the Adult Panto, for example. God, runs for months, you know, two shows a day a lot of the days, and sells out. And also, as you say, a lot of people don't know about it. It's bizarre, you know.
And we were sort of hoping with mostly comedy that we could bring in more people. You know, there was other motive for it. It was bringing other people to the Market Theatre as well. So we're sort of crossover promoting, really, you know, in a sense, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is nice.
Wicked. To our listeners out there, if you haven't yet heard of the Adult Panto and you're wondering what that's all about, we'll put some links up, but I can thoroughly, thoroughly recommend
it. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, really? A couple of years. But always, always really good fun. I haven't seen this year's thing yet.
It's very good this year at the moment, yes.
What's actually this doing year's one tonight, production?
It's called, I don't know if I can say this on radio, Fanny in Stilettos, which might not mean anything, but it's actually an adult version of Puss in Boots. You can see the link, Fanny in Stilettos, Puss Boots.
I see.
It's tenuous.
Tenuous, but it is there. And actually, when you watch the show, it's got nothing to do with that whatsoever. So it's, but it's very good. It's very good.
I have a current affairs left of field question for you. Mm-hmm. Given that Christmas is coming and the Mayans have ensured that we're not going to make it this year, do you have any kind of contingencies for the end of the world?
Well, as long as I get my tax return in,
I'm thinking actually it's quite good because we're going to have to do my tax return because it's.
But if it happened just after, if the end of the world happens just after, we could benefit from this because you could claim a lot of expenses.
Yeah,
just buy some very good things.
Yes,
that could be perishable as well. Yeah, because it doesn't matter. No, we don't have any plans.
No, not at all. It's supposed to be this week, isn't it?
Friday.
Friday. I thought it was supposed to be last. something.
Hasn't it supposed to have been about 10 or something times?
I think if you remove all of the leap years, it was meant to be 3 years ago.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
We're doomed, really.
Yeah. Either way, we're doomed, whether we survive or not.
Yeah. It's something to look forward to.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So, have you actually got anything booked for the next Mostly Comedy? What's the next lineup?
Consults his phone. We do have. We've got acts booked now all the way up till March or April, I think. Mm. But the next one's a really good one. We have Ivan Brackenbury, who is... I don't know if you've heard of him before.
He's the DJ. Radio DJ.
That's right, yeah.
Hospital radio. Yeah.
Ever since we started Mostly Comedy, we wanted to have him.
Yeah, we've asked him so many times.
He's doing a set. He's like a sort of spoof hospital radio guy. And he also does another character called Ian de Montfort, who's like a sort of spirit medium. And it's bizarre because he sort of sends it up while at the same time being quite good at the whole sort of cold reading thing. So that's interesting. So yeah, we've got him next month and various other people as well. And then also we've got our first one in London.
Yes, 6th of January, which will come around quite quick, won't it?
Yeah, which has Phil Kay, Jay Foreman, Luke Benson. I'm reading these off.
That's very good. I'm
just and someone else that I've not written on my phone. That's awkward.
Isn't it Stuart Laws?
I think it is Stuart Laws. Yeah. So yeah, and in the coming months, we've got Nick Helm coming back. Barry from Watford coming back, who's great as well. Who else have we got? In the London one, we've
James
got
A. Caster's
James
back,
A. Caster coming back. One act that we can't talk about because he's big and doesn't really do these sort of things anymore.
Yes, and so that's the nice thing about London is we're probably going to have a lot of people that we can't advertise because they're going to do it last minute, but they will be quite big people, so that's nice.
Oh, it's not Lenny Henry.
Not Lenny Henry, though.
So another reason for people to come along.
Yeah definitely. Yeah, so. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah. In a positive way.
In a positive way. Sounds like really bad.
Yeah.
So that's 6th of January, and our next one in Hitchin is the 24th.
That's right. So the Hitchin one tends to be sort of like the third Thursday of the month. Mm. The London one is the first Sunday of every month.
Yeah. That makes sense.
That does make sense.
Yes.
Cool, I think.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, gentlemen.
Yes, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Yeah. No worries. And wish you success in the next year.
And can I also say best of luck to Tom Watts with the... the maps.
Yeah, yes. Nice one, the map reading. We look forward to it. Yeah, very well done. Well done, guys.
Cheers.
Dan, lead us into a song.
I'm going to play Slept in the Car by...
Sons of Guns.
So that's it.
Oh, which was also in Mark Smith. Was in
Sure.
As well.
Yeah, of course. There you go.
I think I actually played with. I was in Milth back in the day with. Ben
oh, really?
And
so Paul you Bussing. Would? Yeah, we would. We did a gig at the old White Horse in Bulldog.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Where the stage was where the pool table was, and the toilet was behind it.
Yeah.
You had to walk across the stage during the song to go to the toilet.
Yeah.
It was a high point. I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Remember that.
Yeah.
I think we also gigged together at
George.
Yeah, the George. Times, maybe what is now Hermitage Road as well. Did you ever do there?
Oh, yeah, when it was the Loft. The Loft.
Yeah, I'm sure we played
that.
Yeah,
when it was the Loft,
yeah.
Did they?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's
way back.
It's a small world.
It's crazy. Yeah. Indeed. All right, yeah, so this is Slept in the Car by Sons of Guns.
Slept in the car with the engine still running.
Nice. That was Hostages for Smack. Yeah, G from Billy Skinsmith's Oi Punk outfit.
Was that G as well?
Yeah.
He is a busy boy.
Yeah, he's also in a covers band called No Sleep Till Bedtime, and I didn't know this.
I've seen them on Facebook. I didn't know that was him as well.
Yeah, me neither.
When does he sleep? That's what I want to know.
What a slag. Yeah, the wonderful Doggett and F-Grave there.
Yeah, that was a right pleasure, that was. I really enjoyed that interview.
Solely bloody nice blokes.
Ruddy yeah. Nice blokes. And yeah. It's 7:45 already. That's how much fun we were having then.
Oh, wow, that's shuffle fun.
Oh, and we were welcoming Sanchez into the fold as well this evening. There's now three of us. Hello, Sanchez. He's way over the other side of the room, yeah. Which in radio terms means I can touch him, but he's not near enough the mic for you to hear him.
Just waiting for
another local band. It's by Kiltoe Take. So whilst the other guys have gone off for a smoke, I feel like I should stick in that this is going to be my last radio show for a while, because I'm disappearing off to teach children in Spain how to speak English real good. So yeah, and I have to admit, I've really enjoyed doing these shows. It's a real pleasurable experience, and getting to speak to wonderful guests like Doggett and F. Graves, and just to do something that kind of unites in even a small way all of the wonderful, wonderful local music that we have in this town. I really, really do believe that we're doing something good here, and that if everyone pitches in, we can really make something happen and rise our own scene above any other neighbours, rise just above the next cardboard thing in the next town. So yeah, thank you to everyone that's been listening to the sound of my voice and putting up with me. As I say, I really do appreciate it. I'll be back on the airwaves at some point next year, but I simply don't know when. Anyway, this next track is Pheromones by one of my favourite local bands, Indian the Vegas.
Just to prove There's reasons why you want to lose. The bitter heights. You woke me up just to say you hope you don't steal the show. And there you are. Where am I? And there you are. Where am I?
Wake Up Call by Stuart O'Connor. And what have we got next, Dan?
Oh, I think we're going to play Crab Riff by Crap Crab, who we had playing their Crap Crab set at the Crap Crab Club 85 some time ago. 2 weeks ago, was it? Was that a rogue night? I don't know. I was a bit drunk.
That wasn't. Oh, that was when Charlie's.
Can I talk about being drunk?
Yeah.
I just did. So. Yeah, then again, I was drunk. And it was the Disco Zhivago night. What a cracking night. I've threatened them twice now to interview them because they've just done their first gig. This is Disco Zhivago I'm talking about. And I really enjoyed their set. I was quite impressed by it. So we'll get an interview with those guys soon. But yeah, here's Crap Crab.
The Astronauts with Yes We Can, But We Don't.
Please have a look at our website, www.worldmusic.co.uk.